Welcome everybody to another edition of The Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me from New York City, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. David, I'm seeing a lot of stuff going on there with Israel protests. All these anti-Jewish groups are... Well, they're springing up out of everywhere, and it's not just limited to where you are. It's happening here in Texas as well. But is it really as bad as what the media is making it out, or are they overhyping it there in New York?
Nah, it's never as bad. I mean, the idea of it is just bad to begin with, but they always like focus really hard in that one little area. Like, I think I said this before, but like New Year's Eve, they got all these cameras and they're focusing on this one little area, but literally two blocks away, the streets are empty. Yeah. And the stores won't even stay open because it's like, nah, no one comes in here. They just go to... So it's the same kind of thing here. You get a handful of pockets, but the news, they'll focus in and they'll just, you know, like when you're in the studio, they want everybody in one section. So it looks right. Like there's a million people there.
Do they direct them? I mean, does the media go in and say, okay, we want you guys to, you know, kind of get together, group up or whatever? How does that work?
I mean, when they're doing the film, everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame. So they're like, yeah, I'll put it down there. Yeah. And they just kind of push them all together. And the cameraman will, if the shot doesn't work, they'll make another one.
Oh, yeah. You know? Okay. That kind of sounds par for the course. You know, in today's society, I think we can both agree, and I think everybody out there will agree with us, there is cancel culture going on, you know. Mm-hmm. And right now, that cancel culture is affecting primarily the conservative community. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The liberal message seems to be the one that the media wants to hype, and I can say that as a member of the U.S. Press Association. But another thing that people need to understand here, and I do everything I can not to be political. Unfortunately, at times you have to be. And what I have experienced throughout my life, and maybe you have a different perspective on this, and if so, feel free. But the way that the political world works, in my opinion, is that one side or another has the priority. And as elections happen, as time goes by, there is a change and it switches from conservative to liberal, liberal to conservative, rarely middle ground. I would say the last time the United States was all together, everybody was really focused on the same thing was right after 9/11. I think every American wanted to pick up arms and go over and kick some butt, okay? That's really the way I looked at it. But this is my whole point here. Right now, the former president of the United States, which I will not name, is facing so many false, made-up, BS lawsuits and charges that it is unbelievable because he is a conservative. What the liberal community needs to understand is times change, and everything that they are imposing upon this man now is going to, at some point in the future, come back to bite them right in the butt. And all of these people that are protesting and that are speaking up with all this anti-Semitism, don't be surprised when at some point in your life, they're going to come after you. And you're going to be facing those charges. And in your case, there'll be real charges with real consequences, not bogus charges in an attempt to control people and disallow an honest election. That's my statement. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just the way the devil operates. He'll come over and slap you and then say, hey, you hit me back. What's the matter with you? So... It's the way it operates. But I also see it as, you know, we see right wing, left wing. And I think actually on a deeper level, that is just a narrative. And it's two wings of the same bird, we call it. It's just to keep the people occupied so they don't really focus on the real meaning of life, and that's the kingdom of God.
Right.
So here, you know, people spend their whole lives actually working towards this conservative cause and this and that. But the bottom line is, you know, the devil is the prince of the power of the air, and he's the prince of this world, where this age, really. And it's not until Jesus returns that we'll have a righteous government. We're never going to have a righteous government. Right. He says, I want you to come out of her. And he calls us out. Come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon.
Right.
So that's kind of how I look at it. So while we're here, because we are a separate kingdom, because we are righteousness, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that affects our entire society. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're not going to fix society by trying to fix Babylon, as it were.
Right.
We're going to fix society by having our own kingdom that exudes righteousness all around us, and then invite others into that kingdom. So we're, as ambassadors for Christ, our job is to reconcile other men unto God. So instead of trying to fix Babylon, what we do is we pull people out of it one at a time. And then all of a sudden, we'll have more.
Right. Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And we replace it rather than trying to fix it. So does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the Bible is pretty clear about what is going on. For people that are not used to the show, I would suggest you go to Matthew chapter 24 and just read that, because it's going to show you the world today. It's going to show you the current events that are going on in the world right now. I had a person post something on YouTube the other day. It was one of our videos, David, where... you know, they said, well, this whole thing is caused by Mossad. Really? You're going to blame this on Israel? Okay. And so I replied, you know, well, no, not at all. You know, read Ezekiel 38, read Isaiah 17, 1, read Genesis, read Revelation, you know, and the response was incoherent. Okay. And basically it was, you are deceived. That's what they said. And so I said, what don't you understand about Ezekiel 38? What don't you understand about Isaiah 17:1? What is it you don't understand about Genesis or Revelation? And the response, again, incoherent and, well, I hate to use the word ignorant, but that's really what, you know, well, we're just
going to have to. Well, that's an accurate word.
Yeah, we're just going to have to disagree about this, because I don't think that's the way it is. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. Give me facts or shut up. You know, it's really that simple. Give me facts. Point to me a fact, or understand that, no, I'm not deceived. You are being deceived, and you're buying into the devil's propaganda, and eventually you're going to go to hell, period, the end. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're gone, buddy. You are gone. And if that's the choice that you want to make, then that is your choice to make. God wants everyone to join him in heaven, but in order to do that, you have to understand the truth, and you don't. Hey, that's the end of my rant on that, but I don't know if you got some comments on it.
Well, I do. I mean, I've come to the age where I just say, you know what? You can't fix stupid. So,
right, exactly.
why even bother arguing at this point? Just present the truth, because we're required to. Hey, right. This is the truth. Oh, you don't like it? Okay, I'll see you.
Yeah, exactly.
Not my problem.
Yeah.
Now, that goes to Romans 1:28. It says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper.
Yeah.
And they're being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. And they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God, that practice those things are worthy of death, it says. They that practice these things are worthy of death. And not only do they the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Mm-hmm. That is a clear picture of today, especially, you know, if you're on social media and everyone's got this thing that they're going to go on other posts and do all this nonsense instead of just making their own content.
Yeah, well, so, that's because they are deceived. Those are the ones that are deceived. Those are the ones that don't understand what's going on because they close their mind to it. They want to go along. They want to go along to get along. Okay, they don't care about the future. They don't care about what happens after life. And I've got people in my extended family, way out there in my extended family, say, I don't believe in God.
Okay.
Period. The end. You know.
Great.
And okay. Well,
I don't know if I'll remember you in 100 years, but
yeah, yeah. Well, sorry. You know, I do my best. I never back down. I make it clear what I believe in. I make it very clear that I'm a Christian, that I believe every word of the Bible, Genesis through Revelation. I'm really clear on the through part, okay? Because a lot of people will say, okay, I believe in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, because they're scared to death to read Revelation, right? Even though that's probably the most encouraging book and not the most destructive and not the scariest. If you're a Christian, Revelation doesn't scare you. It prepares you.
And, not at all.
It enlightens you. So, okay.
Yeah, and it lets you know what's coming. So,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have to be scared. Oh, this was planned. Okay.
We've read the end of the book. We know how this works out. Okay. We are going to do the week in review like we usually do here because this is a newscast on our last show of the week. And I'm going to begin with the United States and China. Let's listen to this one real quick.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper with the Week in Review. This week, the leaders of the US and China held their first face-to-face meeting in a year. Presidents Joe Biden and Xi Jinping agreed to resume military-to-military communications and made joint commitments on fentanyl and climate change. They met on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Cooperation Summit in San Francisco, from where Iris Spitzer sent this report.
U.S. President Biden called the talks with China's president productive and praised the agreement to resume military-to-military communications, as well as a commitment from China to help crack down on Chinese firms involved in producing the precursors to the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl. The two leaders also discussed areas of disagreement, including Taiwan, where Biden said the U.S. will adhere to the One China policy, but that he expects Beijing not to interfere in Taiwan's upcoming elections.
Okay, so Biden says, okay, we'll give you all these concessions, and you're going to promise us that you're going to do something. And I promise you that we will follow through on our commitment. We always do. The United States always keeps its word to the world. And I guarantee you that China, who never keeps its word to the world, is not going to do a dadgum thing. And so, Biden, you are a loser yet again, okay? You were dominated by the Chinese premier. He got his way on everything. Fentanyl, it's going to continue to flow. I don't know what they're going to do with climate change. China has no intention of doing anything with climate change whatsoever. Okay. And so
they don't believe in it.
That's not going to happen. Biden, you lost again. That's my opinion. And that is the opinion of the United States Press Association, my part of it anyway, what I'm reporting with KRRB, Biden is lacking greatly. Okay, moving right on, though, I do want to continue this because this is the APEC summit. This is where Biden actually met up with Xi, okay? But anyway, let's listen to this report coming out of that summit this week. Listen to this.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, wrapping up our coverage of the APEC summit from San Francisco, where there are some mixed results emerging from a week of diplomacy. It's seen President Biden and President Xi Jinping declaring that a new era of at least slightly warmer relations between the United States and China is at hand. And while APEC leaders made progress on issues including improved supply chains, the transition to clean energy, and anti-corruption efforts, they failed to agree language on trade that will lie at the heart of the proposed Indo-Pacific Economic Framework. Also, the conflicts in the Middle East and Ukraine saw disagreements around the conference table. Vedant Patel is deputy spokesperson at the U.S. State Department.
We have the ability to deal with multiple challenges and crises at the same time. We can ensure that we're helping flow humanitarian aid into Gaza. We're doing what we can to support our Israeli partners as they hold these terrorist groups accountable. We're also continuing to do everything we can to support our Ukrainian partners as they defend their territorial integrity and sovereignty. For a lack of a better word, we feel confident in our ability to walk and chew gum at the same time. And multilateral settings like this are a really unique opportunity to talk about these varying different issues with the respective member economies.
It is perhaps inevitable that a forum that includes the US, Russia, and China was always going to be somewhat constrained in terms of outcomes. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
You think that we might be constrained, the United States? Yeah. And as far as walk and chew gum at the same time, I would think probably most of them are able to do that. I'm not so sure that our representation could do that for us. Okay. And to let you know, they were saying, you know, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can take on multiple issues at the same time. And one of those things, of course, is to help the people in Gaza that are stuck. By the way, I have reports coming in from around the world on various agencies that there are around 1,000 Christians that are trapped inside of northern Gaza, and they are located in three different churches. And the reason I'm bringing this up is they are able to contact people on the outside, but they're afraid to leave. They're afraid to get out of the churches and head south to try to escape Gaza because the Hamas terrorists there would make every, knowing that they are Christians, they will make every attempt that they can to capture them or kill them before they're able to leave that country. So again, we'll get back to the United Nations and, you know, what they're trying to do with their humanitarian efforts. They say they can do this, right? I mean, that was the comment that you just heard made. But now listen to this one, also presented to the United Nations, but not to the Security Council. In this case, it was to the General Assembly. Listen to this.
The entire UN humanitarian operation in Gaza is on the brink of collapse, according to officials briefing the United Nations General Assembly. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, on a visit to Germany, has called on Israel to end its military occupation against Hamas and is demanding an immediate ceasefire.
Okay, and the reason, of course, that they are demanding that is they want Hamas to be able to regroup and reload where they can re-enter Israel again and kill more people. That's the whole thing. They've got these terrorists trapped. They're trapped. They can't get out. They are discovering these tunnels, some of them even under kindergarten classrooms. The Al-Sharif Hospital there, that everybody's having a fit over worldwide, they're discovered, of course, underground, underneath it, there is a command center with high-level Hamas leaders. These leaders are trying to escape through tunnels, and unfortunately they're able to do that because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these tunnels. But the more they run, the more the Israelis learn from people that are left behind, from documentation that they're able to find. And so they can run, but they can't hide, and Israel is not going to stop. They're going to keep coming. David?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You know, it's funny because when they were demanded to stop, you know, what they do? They didn't do anything. They just laughed and kept on going. Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden they're crying. And it's like the little bully in school when you punch him in the eye. All of a sudden he's crying to stop.
Right, exactly.
So, but do we really expect anything less from the devil? I mean, it's the same thing with you know, with China, as we spoke about, there, I know of a couple of ministries that believe wholeheartedly that China is the great red dragon, which makes sense of Revelation. So, you know, along with other prophecies and maybe that where the Garden of Eden is and different things, but that's a whole nother topic. The point is, look at them. They act like the great red dragon to begin with. And what does the devil do? It's real clear. He comes in, he's really nice to you to try and win you over. Mm-hmm. So you give up everything. And then he comes in and then he's a wolf and he eats all the sheep. I mean, did we expect anything less? What we need to do is be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves, and recognize these shysters when they're out there. But, you know, here we are. They're given over, just like Romans 1:28, they're given over to a depraved mind. They think that if they make all these pacts and everything, that somehow, you know, things are going to be better. It's not. They want to take over the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started off the show today asking questions about New York, about the protests there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that there are a lot of conservatives throughout the world, really, but I'm going to focus on just Texas, because I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that Texas is a conservative state. I mean, as much as the liberals would love to yell purple, it's really not. There are areas of Texas that are highly liberal, and I'll list them for you real quick. That's Dallas is very liberal. Houston is very liberal. And our capital city of Austin is very liberal. But if you get into the rural areas of Texas, which really dominate the state, really, rural areas and more conservative suburban areas, they're much, much more conservative. Yes, the Democrats or the socialists or the progressives or liberals or whatever have made a lot of inroads here. No doubt about that. But they're still nowhere close to turning Texas into a purple state, no matter how much the media might want to try to make it that way. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because there is a small town here. It's actually located in the Galveston area is what they call it. But it's incorporated into Houston, which I've already said is a very liberal area. This is a little town within that huge city called Dickinson, Texas. It has a population of 22,177 as of the census in 2020. So it is really a very small city. It has one, count them, one Israeli student in its entire school district. One. Well, this little town has a teacher that wrote on the board of their classroom that, well, the teacher wrote, "No justice, no peace, justice for Palestine." And this little Israeli girl, she's a freshman at Dickinson High School, said that she walked into her English class to find on the whiteboard that "no justice, no peace, justice for Palestine." Her first name is Talia. I won't say her last name, Talia. She's Israeli, and she said that the message was not part of any lesson, but believes it was an opportunity for the teacher to share with her students her opinion about the ongoing Israeli-Hamas war. So she went home terrified. Again, she's the only Israeli student in the entire school. Okay? She went home, she complained to her parents, and her parents went to the school board, and now the school board has had a meeting with them, and now they say there is an investigation in progress. Now, my thing is, okay, everybody, I never should judge anybody. I don't think we should ever judge somebody on what he said, she said, you know, secondhand information or anything like that. So until the investigation is complete, I'm not going to condemn this school district. But if this teacher is found to have really done this, then this teacher needs to be fired and she needs to have her teaching certificate removed for permanently. My dad was a school teacher for 49 years. Okay? So I have no pity for a teacher that misleads a student or that tries to incite students against other students. And that's what this was, in my opinion. David, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, it just shows, you know, the influence that the media has, as if she goes into class that everyone's going to agree with her. I mean, this America, there's all sorts of opinions.
Right.
So it just shows ignorance. It just shows all sorts of stuff. But, you know, they're being nice. I'm not sure if I would be quite that nice.
Well, I
have a good time being not nice.
Look, I say it a lot on this show. I try to keep politics out of it. I really do. It's hard to not, you know, have an opinion as a United States citizen. But under the cancel culture of social media, it's hard to express an opinion. It really is. So I do my best to walk that little bitty fine line. But in my past, when my kids were in school, and they came home and told me something that a teacher said that went against what I believe, my principles, my understanding of constitutional rights and things like that, I was never shy about speaking up, about writing letters, about making phone calls. And back then, there was no cancel culture, except I would get comments back from the school saying, oops, we're sorry, we've taken care of that, we've made the changes or whatever. You don't get that fast response anymore. Now it's got to be drug out, and they've got to try to drag the parents down, and they've got to try to crush the parent, make the parent look like they're the enemy or something. You know, it's just more crap is all I can say. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's the same tactic with, you know, the Department of Education. Again, the devil infiltrated it. He created this Department of Education, which was founded by the Rockefellers. And Rockefeller's like, listen, I don't need a bunch of people thinking. I need a bunch of workers. And that's how they geared the educational system.
Yeah.
Now, along the way, he can't obviously control everybody. So there's good people in the educational system. Mm-hmm. But as an umbrella, that's how it's designed to do this. So little by little, they take a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, to the point of, you know, here we are, you know, and they're not interested at all in God or teaching people to think for themselves.
Oh, God's out of school.
They're just in for this. Hey, you're going to, you know, toe the line and do what we tell you
all
to
right,
believe.
David, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because we're out of time, and we'll be back right after this very short break with the second half of The Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper with The Week in Review. This week, the leaders of the US and China held their first face-to-face meeting in a year. Presidents Joe Biden and Xi Jinping agreed to resume military-to-military communications and made joint commitments on fentanyl and climate change. They met on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Cooperation Summit in San Francisco, from where Ira Spitzer sent this report.
U.S. President Biden called the talks with China's president productive and praised the agreement to resume military-to-military communications, as well as a commitment from China to help crack down on Chinese firms involved in producing the precursors to the powerful synthetic opioid fentanyl. The two leaders also discussed areas of disagreement, including Taiwan, where Biden said the U.S. will adhere to the One China policy, but that he expects Beijing not to interfere in Taiwan's upcoming elections.
This week, the U.S. averted a government shutdown. It ended with President Joe Biden's signature on the stopgap spending bill less than a day before the Friday midnight deadline, and will fund four federal agencies until January the 19th and the remaining until February the 2nd, at which point new funding will be needed to be agreed on to again prevent a government shutdown. This week, Israeli soldiers entered Gaza's main hospital, Al-Shifa, to follow up on claims, backed by the White House, that Hamas had a headquarters under the building. Forces say they found a tunnel shaft and a large weapons cache. It came as the United Nations Security Council passed its first resolution on the conflict after four previous drafts failed. FSN's Sally Patterson sent this report from UN headquarters in New York.
12 votes in favour and 3 abstentions from the United States, the United Kingdom and Russia. Speaking ahead of the vote, Malta, who proposed the resolution, said it offered hope in this dark hour. The resolution adopted on Wednesday demands compliance with international law, as well as safe and unhindered humanitarian access for United Nations agencies and their partners.
In the UK this week, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak fired his Home Secretary and appointed former Prime Minister David Cameron as his Foreign Secretary. Ollie Barrett sent this report from London following the first meeting of the newly reshuffled cabinet.
This broader reshuffle, which has seen a new health secretary, a new environment secretary, a new home secretary as well after Suella Braverman was sacked, is designed by Rishi Sunak to be a reset ahead of the next general election. He wants the best possible team in place to get ready to fight that election. Some Conservatives feel that David Cameron's foreign policy wasn't very successful when he was Prime Minister, and they wonder whether he is the best man for the job.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and located there in New York is my co-host, Mr. David Paxton. David, sorry to cut you off so abruptly there in the first half, but I want to get right back to you because I want to finish that part of the discussion off. So you're back up, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, terrific. I know we were discussing the Department of Education.
Right.
Now, before that, they... You know, every district had its own school, which is a good idea. I think it was Ben Franklin kind of designed, hey, let's all have this school and teach the kids how to read and write. And they always learned how to read from the Bible. So they wanted everyone to believe the same thing. So they made the ruse. Here comes, you know, the devil, the wolf in sheep's clothing says, oh, we'll make a Department of Education for the whole United States. And then what we'll do is we'll oversee all of you, which sounds like a good idea. Oh, someone to help us in this and that. But obviously, the idea was to overtake all of them.
Right.
And then teach the same nonsense to everybody in the country. So clearly, we went from the smartest country in the world down to probably the worst country in the world, despite all the... success that we've had and the prosperity that we've had. And that's because we'll go back to the Rockefeller idea that he just wants a bunch of workers. So he's making all these workers for all these factories so all this big business can make all his money and send it off to the evil world leaders. Yeah. Just my humble opinion.
Well, again, my dad was a school teacher for 49 years. He couldn't teach in this current environment. There's just no way. Despite the fact that the United States Supreme Court ruled that, you know, they were taking the Bible out of school, they were taking prayer out of school, all that. My dad kept a Bible in his desk till the day he retired, and nobody ever complained. And if he was ever asked anything about the Bible, he answered it. If he was ever asked anything about God, he answered it. If he ever was asked, are you a Christian? He answered it. you know, but he couldn't teach in today's classroom. There's absolutely no way. Okay, I want to now finish off the news with this report. This is the United Nations, and this is in regard to a resolution that was passed. Let's listen to this.
This week, Israeli soldiers entered Gaza's main hospital, Al-Shifa, to follow up on claims, backed by the White House, that Hamas had a headquarters under the building. Forces say they found a tunnel shaft and a large weapons cache. It came as the United Nations Security Council passed its first resolution on the conflict after four previous drafts failed. FSN's Sally Patterson sent this report from UN headquarters in New York.
12 votes in favour and 3 abstentions from the United States, the United Kingdom and Russia. Speaking ahead of the vote, Malta, who proposed the resolution, said it offered hope in this dark hour. The resolution adopted on Wednesday demands compliance with international law, as well as safe and unhindered humanitarian access for United Nations agencies and their partners.
And again, Russia, the United States, and what did that say, United Kingdom, all abstained. So they took the coward's way out. Yeah, all they had to do, any one of the three had to do, was say, no, we're against it. That's all they had to do. And the resolution was canceled. It can't happen. When you go to the United Nations Security Council, it must be a unanimous vote or it doesn't pass. It only takes one country to speak up and say no to kill it. And none of these countries had the guts to do that. And I blame that. As an American citizen, I'm offended by my government not opposing that resolution. Because, not because I say, okay, Israel does no wrong. Okay, I'm not doing that. But there, in that entire thing, you didn't hear anything about the Palestinians killing a mother, taking a baby out of her womb, okay, laying it on the floor next to her, killing it first, from what I understand, raping the mother and then killing the mother. You don't hear anything about that, okay? You don't hear anything about people, the Palestinians, setting Israelis on fire, killing them in their own home. None of that is mentioned at all, okay? The terrorist activities, they don't care about that. The only thing they care about is making sure that Israel doesn't go in there and accidentally kill a civilian while they are killing terrorists that came in and murdered Israelis. David, comment?
Yeah, I mean, it goes right back to the same thing in Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar? And why do the peoples devise a vain thing?
Yeah.
The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. All right. So basically he's saying, hey, let's tear the country up and get rid of everybody, is what they're saying. And but he who sits in the heavens laughs and he scoffs at them, and he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. So the time is coming, and it's coming quickly, because he says it'll come to a point where there won't be anybody left on the planet. And I see, if we keep going in this direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's approaching quickly. So, I'm expecting the Lord to take us home and then start to pour out his wrath.
Amen.
Here. Yeah. I mean, we're right at the gates, bro.
Well, again, you queued me up. Okay. just like there's a last play in every football game, there is that last individual to be saved before the rapture of the church. You know, the quarterback drops back, throws a pass. It's game, win or lose right now. When that play is over, the game is over. When the rapture occurs, you have just lost your opportunity. If you are not a Christian, you have lost your opportunity to escape the great tribulation, which is the worst time that the earth has ever seen and the worst time that the earth will ever see. You gave that up. You can still be saved, but you can't avoid that tribulation simply by saying that prayer of salvation. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I know Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in a tomb. I know he rose on the third day just like he said he would. I know that he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time before he ascended to heaven. And now he's waiting on God to say, okay, go get the church. Get them off the earth, because it's time for the tribulation to begin. 7 years of horror. You can avoid it by praying that prayer of salvation, asking Jesus for forgiveness and promising him to follow him all the remaining time of your life. Say that in Jesus' name, and you will be saved. And when the rapture occurs, Amen. You'll meet me and David and every other Christian, living and dead, in the air with Jesus Christ. And we go to supper, okay? And we wait until Jesus says, okay, now it's time for me to go back down there and claim the earth. And then we will be with him on that return, which is the second coming of Christ. So that's the reason that we have this show. This is it. And we want to make that clear to all of you. David, I want to point out something. This is from CNN, a network that I used to watch a lot and that now I avoid as much as is humanly possible because of all the fake news and false news and bad opinion news. CNN, they had to change a headline on Thursday following outrage over their report about an arrest being made for the death of a Jewish man at a protest in Los Angeles earlier this month. Now, the Ventura County Sheriff's Department announced that Loay Abdelfarah Al-Naji, 50, had been taken into custody and charged with involuntary manslaughter related to the death of Paul Kessler on November 5th. The investigators with the department allege that Al-Naji caused Kessler, a 69-year-old pro-Israeli protester, to knock his head onto the concrete when he fell, which resulted in brain hemorrhaging that led to his death hours later in the hospital. Some witnesses have told Fox News that the pro-Palestinian protester struck Kessler with his megaphone. Now, the original CNN headline read, "Arrest made in death of Jewish protester who fell and hit his head." That was their big headline. This Jewish protester, just all by himself, he fell down, he hit his head, and somebody was arrested. And these people that responded to this article were like, what? The guy fell down, so somebody was charged with something? Why would that happen? So they had to change their headline. It says, "Arrest made in death of Jewish protester in California after confrontation over Israeli-Hamas war." So they still didn't really explain why they were arresting somebody, but at least it was better than the first one. Okay, he fell down and died. David, you want to comment on this idiocy?
Yeah. Their motto is, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission. So they come and they put out this crazy headline, because everyone reads the first headline. They don't read the corrections. Right. They're like, corrections don't matter. So, right. But, oh, look, we fixed it. Yeah, okay. But you got, you know, your narrative across. And that's what they wanted to get across, because, you know, he's the devil. The devil is the father of lies, which means if he opens his mouth, he's lying. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So we all know that's the principalities and powers of darkness that rule over the media. So here we are. Do we expect anything less? It's the devil. He's going to lie. Clearly, this man was I live in New York City. Israelis all over the place.
Oh yeah.
I don't see them stirring up strife like I see Muslims stirring up strife. It's just the way it is.
I personally do not know of any. I'm sure we have them here in Grand Saline, but I have personally no knowledge of any Israelis living within our town. Remember now, it's only like 3,000 people that live here. Okay, so it's a very small area. But I can tell you that the overwhelming support for Israel, I'm going to just take a guess, and that's really all this is a guess. 90% of this town supports Israel, 100%. So anyway, I don't understand. I don't understand how in this particular case, when it is so clear who attacked, you know, I don't understand how anybody can be on the other side. It just doesn't make any common sense at all. None. I mean, this is insanity. But when you look at the Bible, then you have to say, well, God said it was going to be this way, and it is this way. And so I take that as, okay, that's all I need to know. God said it's going to be that way in the end times. It is that way now. Bad is good. Good is bad. You know, and anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, David. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, and here's another deeper part of that as well. Now, we all know that Israel was given the promise by God, and it's a unilateral contract, if you would. God made his promise, and he said, yes, Israel, you are wicked, and you are apostate. However, for my name's sake, I'm going to keep this promise. And that's what we need to focus on. We're not saying, hey, Israel is perfect and wonderful and yada, yada, yada. They have not received their Messiah as of yet. They will midway through the tribulation.
Yes.
The third that are left, according to Zechariah, he said, two parts thereof that are going to be destroyed, but the one third he brings through will bow and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they'll say, hey, who put those wounds in your hand? And he said, yeah, they're from my friends. Read it. It's powerful. Now, that will happen. So here's what the devil is trying to do. Even though he knows they don't believe in the Messiah yet, and he's happy with that, in his mind, if he can destroy the Israeli people, the Jews, off of the face of the planet, then that prophecy will never come true.
Right.
And then he can prove God to be a liar and take over all of creation. Does that make any sense to anybody? That despite the fact that they are apostate at this point because they have not received their Messiah, they are still our older brother. They still have the promise of God because it's for his name's sake. And the devil is trying to destroy them so that prophecy does not come true.
Yeah. God doesn't, he doesn't lie. He doesn't sin. Everything's got to be perfect. If the devil was able to find just one thing incorrect, he wins. His problem is he'll never find that one thing. It'll never happen. Mm-hmm. It's never happened to date. And it will never happen. Everything he does, as you said before, God laughs at it because he already knows how things come out. I'm still not sure how the devil doesn't understand it. It's going to be that way too. But, you know,
I don't know if he doesn't understand it. I mean, I think it's come to a point where what else is he going to do?
Yeah.
He already knows, hey, yeah, it's a wild card. The Hail Mary, I've already lost. I might as well try something.
Yeah, try something. Unfortunately, he doesn't have anything worth a flip to try.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's not going to work. And you know what? I believe he knows it's not going to work either. But what else is he going to do? He's the devil.
Yeah. Now, just so you guys know, in the middle of every week here on the show, our second show of the week, every week, deals with a verse-by-verse what do you call it, David? Bible study?
It's a deep dive Bible study.
Yeah.
And it started in the beginning.
Yeah, and it does go really deep, too. I don't know. You know, we've got radio stations all over. You know, some of them carry it, some don't. But anyway, if you are watching us on YouTube or you would like to see one of those, all you need to do is go to www.lastchristian.net, www.lastchristian.net, and you'll be able to find those Bible studies. And also, I'm going to encourage you guys to visit David's site, which is thehiddenday.com, right? Mm-hmm. So, David, I'm going to put this up on screen for everybody to see. Again, if you want to see these in video form, just go to www.lastchristian.net. But to learn more about The Hidden Day, about David, just go to thehiddenday.com. And David, I'm going to let you talk about that a little bit. I've got your logo up there and also your email address for everybody. Make sure that you read that.
thehiddenday@protonmail.com.
Awesome. And you guys, please go visit that website. There's a lot of information there, and you can also support David's ministry as well. And I do encourage you to do that for sure. Mm-hmm. The more people that we reach, the more people that will accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that is what we are all about.
Amen. So on the YouTube channel, it also mirrors into Rumble. And other channels, teaching on a number of different topics, but they go into depth like that too. Like we'll talk about, Bible basics for those who are new Christians. Hey, what are some of the basics of believing in the Bible? Then we talk about generational contracts in another one. We talk about the flat earth, fact or fiction. That's fun. If you want to see pennies in a bunch, go over there. So there's so much that I'm putting on there, and then also started the Substack, the Hidden Day at Substack, because there's so much that the Lord gives me. I can't make a video on everything. There's just not enough time. So if I could just write it out, then I'll put it over there.
Well, like I said, I do encourage everybody to go and visit that website. It's important, and it's got a lot of great information there. I've gone through a little bit of it. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't gone through all of it yet, but I've got a little bit of a bonus. I got a little bit of an advantage. I can talk to David, you know, and call him up on the phone, talk to him, or I can talk to him on the show, whatever. So anyway, I got a little bit of advantage over you guys, but you're going to find a lot of information there, and I do sincerely believe that you should go take a good look at that. I'm going to run through just a few headlines, if you will. I'm not even going to give not going to go into detail. Chicago College says that it has no single perspective representing the entire school after professors send anti-Israeli males. Again, if this was happening the other way, if it was pro-Israeli, there would be court orders and injunctions against it. I can almost guarantee you that. We already talked about CNN altering its homicide headline. Anti-Semitism on today's college campuses echoes the dark past of many elite American universities. There's a target on my back. That's a fear that is gripping Jewish students as hundreds protest Columbia suspending Palestinian groups. U.S. Special Forces veteran says Israel must be given support to win a full victory against these terrorists. There's an Israeli girl that spends her ninth birthday in tunnels of Gaza with no friends and no light, that according to her father. Texas parents say the teacher was singled out an Israeli daughter to make pro-Palestinian comments. That's the one that I read you earlier. Pro-Palestinian protester arrested in the death of the Jewish man, Paul Kessler. So, yes, he was charged. That guy we talked about earlier, he was charged. And hopefully, because it was a death caused, and it should be a hate crime, hopefully he gets the death penalty. I'll just be blunt about that. I think I can report that as a U.S. Press Association member. So I just ran over a few headlines there, David. They're all eye-catching. But people that listen to the mainstream media are not going to hear a single one of them. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's not the narrative they want. They want to keep people busy with minutia and push out the narrative they want. This is not the democracy. How's that going?
Right. No.
Oh, this is extremely dangerous to our democracy. I don't know if you saw that one, but they got every last news station said the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the reason if people want to get the real news that they need to tune in to real news and forget about the mainstream media. There's outlets out there that are telling you the truth. We're going to try to tell you the truth. I listen to all these different or read all about these different things from a vast array of press agencies all around the world. And you'd be surprised how many people in the world know what's really going on. But here in the United States, and we've talked about this before, people don't even know who their congressman is. They may not even know who their mayor is. They sure as heck don't know how many states we have in the United States.
Obama didn't even know.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable how stupid, and I say that in a broad way, but how stupid the United States has become in a very short period of time. We teach people things in school that we shouldn't. We disallow things in school that should be allowed, and we are raising a generation of idiots. Now, that is my personal opinion as a United States citizen protected by the United States Constitution. Do you have a different opinion on that, David, or do you think that we're raising a generation of basically idiots?
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Department of Education is designed to do, is just raise people just enough to do all the jobs. You know, they need someone serving at McDonald's and doing all the stuff that, you know, all these big corporations need done. So they just make people into that, and it's on purpose. And then, you know, the devil's behind it too. So if he can keep people ignorant, then they're not going to seek the truth. The problem is this, the Holy Spirit is still here.
Right.
You know, so he's never going to be fully successful in all that. And just when it looks like we're at the tail end of everything, that's Jesus will come back, and then we'll have that righteous government. And that's the day I'm looking forward to. So, who wants to rule and reign with us in the new millennium, the thousand-year reign when Jesus comes? Raise your hand. Okay.
I'm in.
Here's how you do it. This is it. Everything is contract law in the Bible. Every last thing is a contract, okay? You screwed up the first contract. The wages of sin is death. Those are terms and conditions of that contract. It's real simple. You messed up, you're entitled to death. Okay, here's the best thing. Jesus comes along and he says, I redeemed you, which means he bought you back. He purchased you. He came to the debtor's prison that you were in, and he said, I will pay for your contract. So he paid that sin of death as a man and signed in his blood a new contract. Mm-hmm. You can have that new contract with Christ. Here it is. It's a blood contract, and it says, I'll trade places with you. I'll buy you. I'll pay your debt. And you can have my righteousness. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is sign that contract. And you say, yes, Lord Jesus, I receive that contract. I receive your blood. And then you keep your end of this contract. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's your end of the deal. Mm-hmm. So if you can receive him and know that this contract is yours for the taking, he made provisions for it already. It's already done. All you need to do is accept it. That's a no-brainer for anyone, I think. Why would you deny that?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are denying it. And
yep. They've given them over.
The number of people that will be actually saved, raptured, whatever, is minuscule compared to the number of people that won't be. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it to scare anybody either. It's just that you've got to actually have that personal relationship with the Lord. And if you don't, you're not going to win, you know, and you got to understand God's already won. I mean, in his mind, this is over already. And, you know, everything has been completed. We're just watching it play out. We're that last generation that is watching everything actually happen exactly the way the Bible said it would. And again, I encourage people, please go to Ezekiel 38. That's my favorite. Go to Ezekiel 38, read that, and compare it to the world press right now, and I promise you that you will come to the same conclusion. If you will read it with an open mind, and not with a mainstream media mind, but with an open mind, if you will read it that way, I promise you that you will see that we are living in the last days, that things are happening really quick, we're moving in that direction, and that the rapture can happen at any time, as in right now, today, before I can even get this sentence out. No, I am not calling my shot. I'm not telling you it's going to happen today or tomorrow or next week. I'm telling you it can happen at any second, at any time, because everything that has needed to be done has been completed. The rapture is next on the agenda. Get ready for it. If you're a Christian, thank you. I'm happy for you. I look forward to meeting you in the air with Jesus Christ. If you're not, please, please say that prayer of salvation. It's very simple. You say it in your own words, and then you will join us when that occurs. Just like I hope that you will join us next time for the next edition of Last Christian. Again, go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net if you would like to see this in visual form. We'll be back next week with another edition. Until then, good night, and may God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.